By the next summer, the first of the myriad concrete blocks had been made and tested to Braildon's satisfaction. And before winter came again, some thousands had been produced and part of the foundations laid. Leaving a trusted assistant in charge of the production, Braildon could now return to his interrupted work. When enough of the blocks had been made, he would be back to supervise the building. But until then, his guidance would not be needed. Two or three times in the course of every year, Chervain rode out to the wall to watch the stockpiles growing into great pyramids, and 4 years later, Braildon returned with him. Layer by layer, the lines of stone started to creep up the flanks of the wall, and the slim buttresses began to arch out into space. At first, the stairway rose slowly, but as its summit narrowed, the increase became more and more rapid. For a third of every year, the work had to be abandoned, and there were anxious months in the long winter when Chervain stood on the borders of the Shadowland, listening to the storms that thundered past him into the reverberating darkness. But Braildon had built well, and every spring the work was standing unharmed, as though it would outlive the wall itself. The last stones were laid 7 years after the beginning of the work, standing a mile away, so that he could see the structure in its entirety. Chervain remembered with wonder how all this had sprung from the few sketches Braildon had shown him years ago, and he knew something of the emotion the artist must feel when his dreams become reality. And he remembered, too, the day when, as a boy by his father's side, he had first seen the wall far off against the dusky sky of the Shadowland. There were guardrails around the upper platform, but Chervain did not care to go near its edge. The ground was at a dizzying distance, and he tried to forget his height by helping Braildon and the workmen erect the simple hoist that would lift him the remaining 20 feet. When it was ready, he stepped into the machine and turned to his friend with all the assurance he could muster. "I shall be gone only a few minutes," he said with elaborate casualness. "Whatever I find, I'll return immediately." He could have hardly guessed how small a choice was his. Grail was now almost blind and would not know another spring. But he recognized the approaching footsteps and greeted Braildon by name before his visitor had time to speak. "I'm glad you came," he said. "I've been thinking of everything you told me, and I believe I know the truth at last. Perhaps you have guessed it already."
"No," said Braildon. "I've been afraid to think of it." The old man smiled a little.
"Why should one be afraid of something, merely because it is strange? The wall is wonderful, yes, but there's nothing terrible about it. To those who will face its secret without flinching. When I was a boy, Braildon, my old master once said that time could never destroy the truth. It could only hide it among legends. He was right. From all the fables that have gathered around the wall, I can now select the ones that are part of history. Long ago, Braildon, when the first dynasty was at its height, Trilorn was hotter than it is now, and the Shadowland was fertile and inhabited, as perhaps one